So, Matt, this is our first episode, and I kind of wanted to dig into your last novel, Lovecraft Country, which is getting a adaptation through HBO with the talent of Jordan Peele and, I believe, J.J. Abrams behind it as and producers.
I have to give a shout out to Misha Green, the showrunner, she's the one driving the bus and is the real creative talent. And I also want to say something nice about Kalina Ivanov, who's the production designer. And as you will see, has just done amazing work on the look of the show.
Beautiful. Yeah, I'm so excited to see that novel come to life. We've talked about this a little bit before last year when I interviewed you about the novel itself. But I kind of wanted to get you to riff a little bit on how you came about writing Lovecraft Country, and then what it's been like for you to see your novel become basically become a new medium, and what that's been like, and what that process has. Has there been some pretty interesting stories revolving around that? So just let her rip.
Yeah, no. So Lovecraft Country grew out of a desire to tell my own version of the X-Files, basically. I wanted to do I initially conceived it as a TV show, actually. And I wanted to do a show with a recurring cast of characters having, you know, weekly paranormal adventures. And one of the questions you have to answer for a show like that is, you know, what is it about these people? What do they do for a living, or what's special about them that has them constantly running into monsters? Because, mm-hmm. you know, most of us, you get, you know, one night in a haunted house or one blurry glimpse of the Loch Ness monster, and that's your lifetime quota. And so what's special about these people that they're constantly running into, you know, scary things? And the answer I came up with essentially was that, well, they're black and they live in America. I had read about these travel guides, the most famous being the Green Book, that basically told black motorists and tourists in the age of Jim Crow what hotels and restaurants across the United States would accept their patronage. Mm-hmm. And so if you were, and this was actually, people often think of this as something that would be crucial in the South, but in fact, the South was, you know, because they were proudly racist, they had signs all over that told you exactly where you were and weren't welcome. And in most cases, you weren't welcome. But when you were traveling in the North and West, you would encounter just as much prejudice, but you wouldn't necessarily be warned in advance. And people would often lie to you about why they wouldn't rent you a room or why you were not welcome to eat at their establishment. And that was where it was really helpful to have a guide to sort of help you avoid that. And so I thought it would be cool to have a story where, you know, my Mulder and Scully characters were basically people who had created a guide like this. And so my lead character, Atticus Turner, is a Army veteran just back from Korea. His uncle runs this travel agency in Chicago, and Atticus ends up becoming a field researcher for this Safe Negro travel guide. And his job is to drive around the country looking for places that will take his business. But he and his uncle are also huge nerds and, you know, fans of science fiction and fantasy and weird tales, even though those genres at the time didn't necessarily love them back. Yeah. And so it was the story where Atticus would, you know, be having these weekly adventures encountering paranormal monsters, but he would also be dealing with the more mundane horrors of Jim Crow. And the question would be, you know, which is the bigger threat to safety and sanity, you know, just the paranormal realm or just America? And that was where the title Lovecraft Country came from, because it was sort of a uniting theme. That H.P. Lovecraft, of course, is a famous and very influential writer of cosmic horror, but he was also a white supremacist. Mm-hmm. And so Lovecraft Country became both. It was the paranormal realm where monsters come from, but it was also white America where monsters come from. And so that was the core idea. And I ended up, you know, reimagining it as a sort of a novel, a sort of an episodic novel that you can almost think of as, I wrote it almost as a proof of concept that mm-hmm. this could really work as a TV series. So it's like, and every one of the seven Viewpoint characters, members of Atticus's extended family, have their own chapter and their own, you know, personalized weird tale to star in. And these fit together to form a larger arc story. So sort of like the arc mythology from the X-Files. And so that was the idea behind the book. And for once my timing was right. And it was published right around the same time that Jordan Peele decided to get into horror and started working on Get Out. And so when we started sending the book out to Hollywood people, I got a lot of interest right away, which surprised me, frankly, given the difficulty I'd had in my earlier attempts to pitch it as a TV show. And one of the people who wanted to talk to me was Jordan Peele. And my agent was a bit puzzled at the time because Get Out had not happened yet. And he's like, yeah, he's a comedian, but apparently he's looking to break into horror. And I'm like, that sounds fine. And then I found out Misha Green was going to be on the phone too. And that was great because I was familiar with her work in Underground. And I was like, you know, she'll really get this and she'll know how to pitch it. She's already done a show that, you know, does a lot of the things that I want to do. So, and it was a great conversation. It was one of those rare cases where you're talking to people in Hollywood and you're all discussing the same novel, because it's often it's like they have a very different idea than you do of what mm-hmm. you wrote. But in this case, we were all on the same page and we all were interested for the same reasons. And I was like, this is going to be great. And so it was kind of off to the races from there. And then a few weeks later, the trailer to Get Out dropped and I saw that and I laughed because I'm like, okay, this is why Jordan Peele wants to do this. We're on the same wavelength. And the success of Get Out basically paved the way for HBO to say, sure, Jordan Peele, you want to do this? Well, we will do this. And, you know, we won't even bother doing a pilot first. We'll commit to do an entire season right away. And yeah, so it was like I got the golden ticket. It was perfect timing and I couldn't be happier. And then, yeah. And so it's I can't talk too much about the changes that have been made, mm-hmm. but obviously the vision of the TV series, it's Misha Green's version of the story. It's an interesting thing. I know a lot of authors are very territorial about their work, but I always feel like the novel is my version. My version exists. It's there. It's not going to change. And I can always go back to it and do more if I want. But now it's going into this other medium and there and inherently are going to be things that will be different about it. For one thing, it's a visual medium rather than a prose medium. So you've got to find a way to convey these paragraphs of information very quickly in visual images. And Misha's done that very well. And, you know, with Kalina's help. So it's just kind of neat seeing a variation of what I did. And it's a nice complement to my version of the story and one that it goes to different places and does even more interesting things. So I couldn't be more thrilled about it. And, you know, my wife and I got to go down on set and see how it's done. And the most amazing thing to me, frankly, is seeing literally hundreds of people on multiple sound stages working on this thing and realizing that all of this activity is happening because of this weird story that I thought up on my own in my little room. So that's just really gratifying and cool. And the only downside to it is that it's just such good fortune for me that I being German, I'm of course waiting for the other shoe to drop and, you know, am I going to get hit by a bus the day before the show airs? So I don't know. So far, though, so good.
Well, it's all about legacy, right?
No, I
you're on. <not.
laughs> I'm one of those people. I want to be immortal by not dying. But, you know, I'll take the legacy if that's all I can get.
So. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Well, thank you, Matt, for giving us a little bit of taste of your last novel and the upcoming series from HBO, which is going to come out sometime in 2020.
Sometime later this year. That's all we know right now.
Yeah. Awesome. So I'm looking forward to it. And I know several people who I've gotten to read your novel are excited to see it as well. So thank you for writing it. And thank you for writing 88 Names. And we get to explore that a little bit more in the following weeks. So look forward to future conversations.